In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The passage that we hear in the Gospel today from St. Matthew's Gospel comes right after an exchange that took place between the Lord and St. Peter. And you'll recognize this. It says, Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? To Peter, apparently, it seemed reasonable that there would be a limit on the number of times you would forgive someone. And maybe he thought he was being generous by suggesting seven times. But Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. In other words, over and over and over again. Continually. Forgive your brother if he sins against you and comes and asks for forgiveness. So this is what the Lord is responding to. Now, when he tells this parable, so immediately after that exchange, he says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And one was brought before him who owed him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. This is a vast wealth. This is a huge amount of money that a normal worker would never be able to make in his entire lifetime. So here's the idea, is that this servant, this worker, owes his master such a great quantity that there's no way he could ever possibly pay it off. But when the master asks him to pay what he owes, he begs for forgiveness. He begs for mercy, and the master shows mercy to him. The problem comes, so far so good, you know, we're seeing the beautiful generosity of this master. But the problem comes when this same servant goes out and he encounters another servant, and that other servant owes him a much smaller sum. It says 100 denarii, you know. Now, 100 denarii is maybe nothing to sneeze at, but it's something that a worker could work at and make, perhaps over the course of a month or two or a few months, and could pay back the one he owes. But this other servant doesn't have that amount, and so he asks for mercy. And the first servant, who's been forgiven so much, refuses to show mercy. But it says he takes him by the throat, you know, like ready to throttle him, and says, you better pay what you owe or I'm going to throw you into the debtor's prison. And a lot of good that will do. So it says that when the fellow servants saw what had been done, they were grieved and they went and they reported it to their master. And the master called that servant whom he had forgiven and said, you wicked servant, I forgave you so much. I showed mercy to you. I was patient with you. And couldn't you be patient with your fellow servant? So, I think the interpretation of this parable is pretty straightforward. It's not too hard to figure out. But we should notice that right at the beginning, the Lord uses these words. He says, the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to, or is like, this parable. This is how the kingdom of heaven is. It's showing us that there is a certain criterion or standard for us to enter into the kingdom of heaven. If we wish to be forgiven, if we wish, even if God desires to forgive us, which he does, if we wish to reap the fruit of that forgiveness, to receive the benefit of that forgiveness, then we must be willing to forgive others. If our heart is hardened, then we simply can't receive the gift that God is giving us, that he desires to give us. So the Lord gives us this standard. It's spoken of as a reckoning. It says that the master wished to make a reckoning with his servants. And this, of course, is an image of the last judgment, when we'll all come, every one of us, and stand before the Lord, sitting on his judgment throne, and we'll have to give an account. And it's interesting because if we think of this in terms of the last judgment, then how we respond to the Lord's mercy will have already taken place. In the parable, the Lord shows mercy and then the servant goes out and doesn't do likewise. But when we stand before the judgment throne, when this parable is fulfilled on the last day, the Lord will have shown us such great mercy, and we will have responded one way or the other. And so then it will be time for the Lord either to say, "My good and faithful servant, my son, my daughter, you have done as I do. I showed you mercy and you went and did likewise. My good and faithful servant, receive the kingdom of heaven." Or, as the master says to this servant, "You wicked servant, how could you respond that way? I showed you such great mercy and you failed to show mercy to others." So the major issue here is this: do we have gratitude to God for his kindness to us? Are we grateful to him? Do we recognize what great mercy he shows us? What great mercy he's already shown us? What great mercy he's promised to show us in granting us the kingdom? What patience he's had with us? How many things he's forgiven us? And we've begged for his forgiveness and his mercy and over and over and over again. Way more than 70 times 7 times the Lord has forgiven us and restored us and made us again like the prodigal son, his sons and daughters. Do we recognize this? And do we cultivate every day gratitude within ourselves for God's kindness and his mercy? Because if we are properly grateful to God for his mercy and his kindness and his forgiveness, then we will easily be able to forgive others. That's why we must constantly cultivate this gratitude, because that will be like a wellspring which will pour forth mercy and forgiveness and patience towards others. But if we don't cultivate that gratitude and we don't have constantly before us the great debt that we owe to God, which we'll never repay, and at the same time, his incredible loving kindness in forgiving us that debt, if we don't have that constantly before us, then we won't be able to go and do likewise. It seems that the servant forgets his master's generosity, and I don't know how that's possible, because it was like he was dead and now he's alive again, you know? The master was going to punish him and now he's free. And immediately he's ecstatic that he's gone free, but it's like he forgets the generosity. And this is what we can do in our pride, you know? We receive the gift and we go run away with it and we forget the giver. This is what Adam and Eve did. This is what all of our ancestors did. This is what we do also. God gives us everything, and we forget the one who gave all these things to us. What if instead this servant, when he met his fellow servant, had remembered his master and the kindness that he had shown him and had said, "Well, if my master forgave me 10,000 talents, which it would be impossible for me ever to pay back," you know, it's this like impossible situation, this kind of ridiculous situation. If he went over and above and beyond anything that I could possibly imagine and showed me such incredible kindness and generosity, wouldn't it behoove me to follow his example, at least to some small degree, and show mercy to this my fellow servant? He should have said, "I can imitate my master. I can be like him. I can follow his example. Be generous like him." And this is the point. Christ forgives us all, and we are to do likewise. It would be impossible were it not for his grace. But by his grace, it's quite possible. And obviously here we're not just talking about financial debt. One way to think about this is to think in terms of patience. It speaks about how, the servant begged the master, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Be patient." And the master was very patient. And then the fellow servant begs the same thing, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not. He refused to have patience, to be patient with his fellow servant. God is patient with us, but are we patient with others? And it seems that impatience is very often a terrible habit within us. It becomes deeply ingrained. And before we even think about it, we're responding to people in an impatient way. You know? So perhaps this bad habit is in us. But the thing is, we can't enter into the kingdom of heaven with impatience. It's like this big burden that won't fit through the gates into paradise. We have to get rid of it. Just like we can't fit through the gates into paradise with the burden of unforgiveness, refusing to forgive others. So what can we do if this impatience is deeply ingrained in us? We can call on God for help. We can beg Him for mercy. We can say, "This impatience is part of the great debt that I owe you. 10,000 talents, which is something ridiculous and impossible for me to repay. Something utterly impossible for me to get rid of by my own strength. But you, Lord, can heal me. In place of my impatience, you can give me a habit of patience. In place of my unforgiveness, you can give me forgiveness. You can make me able to forgive others just as you've forgiven me." So we have to fall down before the Lord and beg for help to be able to do this. So some of it is habitual in us. But then again, there are those situations where we've been really deeply hurt by other people. And this pain is so poignant, it's impossible for us to forget. And it seems to cripple us, and it seems impossible for us to forgive those people who so deeply hurt us. And still, the Lord is calling on us to forgive. Still, we must forgive. Because we can't enter the kingdom of heaven with unforgiveness. And it's still true, as impossible as it may be for us to wrap our minds around it sometimes, especially when we're really feeling the pain of having been hurt by other people, it's still true that the debt we owe God and for which He forgives us is far greater than the debt that person who's hurt us owes us. So again, we must call on the Lord, if this is the case in our life. Call on the Lord to help us to forgive, to make it possible, to move a mountain. You know, the mountain of this burden of unforgiveness that's weighing on our heart and that we can't move by our own strength. The Lord can move it, and He can set us free, and He can give us the ability to forgive. And He will always help our good intentions. If we desire sincerely to have the ability to forgive, the Lord will help us. It may seem slow, the progress that we make, because these things go deep in our souls. But as soon as we have that genuine desire and are begging the Lord for help, He is already helping us. He's already giving us the strength to make progress and move towards the way of the saints. And we must think of the saints as our examples. Saint Stephen, the proto-martyr, is a beautiful example of one who, like our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, who says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," even as they're crucifying Him. Saint Stephen was stoned by the Jewish leaders, the Jewish elders, and even Saint Paul was there participating in that before his heart was changed and he received Christ in his heart. Saint Stephen, down on his knees, on the very edge of death, just before he gives up his spirit, he says, he begs the Lord to forgive them, not to hold this against them. He says, "Do not hold this against them." So he forgives even those who are stoning him. And along with this, we could mention many examples from the lives of the saints, but I want to mention one other one because it touches on the issue of patience and impatience and how important it is. St. John the Merciful, also known as the Almsgiver, the Patriarch of Alexandria in the 6th century, 6th and beginning of the 7th century, we could speak of many examples from his life of ways that he showed patience and showed mercy to other people, but this is one of my favorites. He was once on his way to church, and my guess would be this didn't just happen once, but actually many times, but this one instance is recorded. He was on his way to the church for the service, and he's the bishop, you know, so it's important for him to get there and to be on time and so on. But as he was on his way, a certain elderly widow stopped him. And she began to tell him about all of her problems. And he stopped and began to listen. Well, he had his retinue with him, his deacons and various assistants and whoever. And all of them, they didn't have watches, but they were basically like looking at their watch and saying, "You're going to be late, Your Grace, come on. You don't have time to sit here and listen to this woman, you know? Lady, you can talk to him later, you know?" And they were trying to hurry him along. And St. John said, "No." He said, "If I don't stop and patiently listen to what she has to say to me, why should I expect God to listen when I go to the church and tell him about our problems and ask him for mercy?" You see? Here's that principle. How can we expect God to be patient with us and show us mercy if we're not willing to be patient with others and show them mercy likewise? So we demonstrate our good intention and our desire for salvation and for God's mercy by how we treat others. And if we struggle to be kind and merciful, even to our enemies, and to pray for them rather than despising them, then we are demonstrating our good intention and the Lord will help us. Now, we live in very divisive times. And actually, there's never been a time in the history of the fallen world that hasn't been divisive, when there haven't been enemies, where there haven't been people who hated one another, when the devil hasn't constantly sown strife and enmity. But certainly we can look around and recognize that we live in divisive times. And there's a very strong temptation for us, maybe, to despise others, to think that others are complete fools and idiots, and how can they think those things? It's a very strong temptation to resent others, to condemn others in our hearts, to hate even. But we must not. We may strongly disagree with others, but still we must pray for their salvation. And above all, we can't allow any hardness of heart to develop within us, because that can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. And if we allow that hardness to grow within us, then we will be prevented from entering. And those people that we despise, if they repent and their hearts are softened, they may go in and we remain outside. So let us remember the magnificent generosity of our Lord towards us, and let us cultivate deep gratitude in our hearts for that generosity. And let us strive to follow that example and be generous ourselves towards others. And let us pray for our enemies and beg for God's mercy for all. And may the Lord grant us in his abundant generosity the forgiveness of all of our sins and eternal life in his kingdom. Amen.